We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Okay, we're going to preview the Penn State at Indiana game. Hold on, Ross. The line is 14 points. Penn State's the favorite. The over-under is 61. Penn State has lost its last two games. Indiana has lost three of its last four. Okay, more Michigan State bashing.
No, it's all right. Let's start with Indiana at least. Tell me about him, Bob.
I mean,
I don't know much about him. I don't care.
The one thing I will say about that I think is interesting about Indiana is Tom Allen was their former defensive coordinator when Kevin Wilson got kicked to the curb, and I think he's at Ohio State now.
Correct.
Plays because he's kind of a jackass
dealing
with players.
He actually he's not even calling plays anymore.
They pull him.
He got demoted for Ryan Day.
Oh, that's right.
He's like coaching tight ends.
But Tom Allen, I give Tom Allen credit because Saquon Barkley, in his last 2 years, never, ever, ever got on track against Indiana. I was at the 2016 game out there. He scored two touchdowns. They ran him 33 times for 58 yards in that game. Indiana just said, you're not beating us. And last year, I think it was 20 carries for 59 yards, no touchdowns. The only reason I bring it up is Penn State's offensive line is better. Miles Sanders obviously did some really nice things against Michigan State. They've run for at least 200 yards in every game. I just am curious to see if Indiana can do anything to slow the running game down. And I think if they can, this could get interesting.
Can I read you a quote, Ross, from James Franklin this week about Penn State and what he thinks are some of the problems?
Yeah.
I looked for stuff to say if he was going to address some of what he thought were the shortcomings.
Did he say this after the game or did he say on Tuesday?
He said this on Tuesday.
Okay.
We need to be more detailed. We need to protect a little bit longer. We're not giving up a whole lot of sacks, partly with Trace, how mobile he is. We need to be a little bit more detail-oriented in our routes, the depth of our routes, being able to create separation in our routes, and then being able to consistently make the open catch or be able to make the contested catch. It's a combination of all those things, and I think also being a little bit more accurate as well, along with all those things. It's not one thing. It's all of it together. We need to be better in all of those areas.
I think I just said that. Sincerity, I mean, I think that was Tucker's
tape. It has been a little bit of everything.
And I still think the offensive line's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, the offensive line comment bothered me.
I was specifically watching to see, and I'm not saying it was their best game, but the offensive line played well enough to win. I mean, the hole for Miles Sanders, and even some of the other plays, they had holes, and Miles couldn't make the one guy miss. McSorley couldn't make a guy miss. I thought the offensive line played fine. I really did. I mean, they weren't dominant, right? They weren't good enough, but they couldn't convert third downs. They could not complete a third down. Some of them were easy. Some of them were cake. It's really, really disappointing because – and we didn't even talk about this part of it. All the other teams that lost, what would Penn State be right now? Five?
Six?
Would they be five or six? Four? Four, five, or six, right?
I think Notre Dame would have just squeaked by them at four.
It would have been close.
Because they should have lost to Pitt.
Yeah.
They would have been five or six.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then, just so you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all if Clemson loses a game. Notre Dame could still very easily lose a game. And then you're starting to talk. You know, then you're like, Ohio State could lose. Alabama,
yes,
you never
yes.
know. Then you're really starting to talk. Because if they got into the top four, they'd have a decent chance of getting in the college football playoff.
It feels like for the first time since 2016 that there's outside pressure or outside noise inside the program during the season. You know, since before, say, Minnesota in 16, it just feels – it's not like that again, but it feels like for the first time in a long time, there's outside noise that – can legitimately be part of this program. And I think, you know, you came off a bye week and you're flat. This is going to be a potentially a game where sort of the mindset and the spirit of the players on this team, you're going to sort of learn something. You agree or disagree, guys?
Agree. I think you're going to find out a lot about this team based on how they come out and play. And this is the thing about the Big Ten. These games are not easy.
Nope.
Like Ohio State has proven that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't been like blown away Indiana or Minnesota. So now they got Indiana and Iowa, then Wisconsin. No, then Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan
then
State.
Then Wisconsin.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought you were talking about Ohio State.
No, I'm talking about who Penn State still has.
Here's my question for you guys with Trace McSorley and the fact that he's running the ball a lot. Now, he ran 25 times against Ohio State and got beat up in that game. I really do think so. I think they ran him 12 or 13 times in this game. With the schedule they have left, if you're not going to play Tommy Stevens and you're not going to give Ricky Slade the ball, at what point is he running on fumes? At what point? Do you remember what Ohio State did with JT Barrett? They literally ran him into the ground late in his career. And he was other than one game, he was never the same player. I'm not saying that Penn State is there, but I'm saying if they don't start running somebody besides Miles Sanders and Trace McSorley with the schedule they have left, what is this offense going to look like?
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Bob, because now they had a bye week, but you almost wonder if the Ohio State punishment had some impact on McSorley, whether it was limited practice reps or just, I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses right. for him, but that is a pounding. He's not Cam Newton.
Yes.
No.
He's not. Happy that he's 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Soaking wet.
Yeah.
And he's losing weight during the season, too. I think I
will say this, knock on wood, I'm amazed that he hasn't gotten hurt in 2.5 years.
Yeah,
so
we
far.
Almost forget that.
I'm amazed. Like, he is tough as nails.
Yeah.
Because he has taken some vicious shots. So I'm really impressed, and I have great admiration for his toughness because he has taken some ridiculous shots in the 2.5 years. Let's hope he can make it through the rest of this year healthy. But I think that's very much a question mark.
So a little bit about Indiana real quick. I think their defense is okay up front. Overall, they're not necessarily great. Iowa gashed them last week for 5 yards a carry on average.
The Iowa quarterback had 6 touchdown passes.
Yeah, Nick Stanley also had a good game.
And they averaged 5 yards a carry. They gashed them every which way but loose, hung 42 on them. I watched the Ohio State game, though, against Indiana, and Indiana's front seven played pretty well late into the third quarter before I think Ohio State's athletes just took over. The better players came to the front in the fourth quarter of a game, but for three quarters, that front seven was pretty good, and I think that should be a concern with what you talked about, Bob. I'd like to bring three players into the spotlight and throw some numbers. Can I do some numbers, Ross?
Do it.
Go for it.
He would love it.
Juwan Johnson, Brandon Polk, DeAndre Tompkins. 34 catches, 494 yards, and 4 touchdowns through 6 games.
I would have been shocked if that's what Juwan Johnson had by himself at this stage before the year. That would not have shocked me.
19 catches for Juwan, that's 3 a game. I think in order to talk, and if you're looking at this game and what Indiana, their front seven can be decent. They just got gashed last week. We know that their head coach is a good defensive coordinator. We know he knows how to come up with a game plan. We know he's going to probably spy Trace McSorley and take that running away from him, which might end up being a good thing. But we know all of that. I still think the onus on this game offensively comes down to the passing game and the wide receivers.
If they can't trust somebody other than Hamler to get open, and if they mess up on special teams, they are going to sweat this game out, much like they did in 2016. That team won the Big Ten championship. They were losing in the fourth quarter. It can be tough sometimes to play in that. It's not a loud venue. It's kind of an unusual atmosphere. It's almost like playing in practice because the Indiana crowd's not there, and there's only about 6,000 or 7,000 Penn State fans. So it can get it's really, really antiseptic. It's not really a challenging environment, and it's just different.
That's a good word for it, is antiseptic. And I would say that my prediction is that this game is close midway through the third quarter, like it is every time Penn State plays at Indiana. I swear it'll be like a tie game midway through the third quarter. Penn State pulls away and probably ends up winning by 2 scores. I'm going to say, let's go. What was the Iowa-Indiana score? Do you know?
42-20
I thought it was like 49-26 or something like that.
40-something
I'm
going to
go Penn State 31, Indiana 21. That's my score. My bold prediction. What?
It's the exact same score I've written down.
No, you got to change it.
I'm changing mine.
That's too bad. I got to go first this week for the
No, no, no. You're good. You're good.
My bold prediction is that McSorley throws for over 400 yards and four touchdowns.
400?
Yep. I think that Indiana sees the last game, sees the last couple games, and says, let's make the Penn State receivers and McSorley beat us. I think they load up to stop the box, and I think McSorley has a good game because he's going to have to.
You just gave me a bold prediction, Ross.
Go ahead, Ashley. Go ahead.
I'm going to go. I like Indiana's quarterback. I think Peyton Ramsey's okay. I don't think Indiana has much of a running game to help him, which is a benefit to Penn State's defense. I thought Penn State's defense played well enough to be a winning defense last week. I think they're getting a little bit better. I'm baffled at the fact that they did not double up Felton at the end of that game. That's just a coaching thing. That's like really simple. Like, I'm not going to let this guy beat me. Sometimes I feel that they're being hamstrung a little bit, but I think Penn State's defense will need to be a difference maker. I'm going to go, because Russ called it 31-21, I'm going to go Penn State 31, Indiana 24. I think the defense gets two or three turnovers. I think Miles Sanders has a big day because I think the offensive line is playing well. And my bold prediction, piggybacking off you going 400 yards for Trace McSorley, is a 200-yard receiving day for KJ Hamler.
Okay.
Because looking at everything else, I'm like, where else is the 400 yards going to come from?
Yeah, you're basically, what's it called? Like the animals that just like suck off a dead animal?
No, I'm a mosquito.
What are those called?
Parasite.
You're basically a parasite off my great bold prediction.
I'm not making bold predictions anymore because they're so bad, but if I can parasite off a good one that I think is good, I'm going to ride with it.
Can we let Bob go? We got like 20 seconds here.
Go ahead, Bob.
45-21, Penn State. Don't love my prediction, but I'm going to stick with it. I just want to. Three things. Will we see Ricky Slade? Will we see Tommy Stevens? And will we see Jake Pinniger? Those are the three things I'm looking for.
Oh, you think Blake Gillikin might kick?
If you can't trust your kicker, why do you have him out there?
Yeah, I agree. All right, we all think this is going to be a tractor pull for Penn State heading to Bloomington. That'll do it for the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Thank you, Bob Flounders. Thank you, Ross Tucker. I'm Andy Shea. Thanks for joining us, everybody, and have a good weekend.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.